You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Are you sick?
No. I was just like, ah. Hey, I went to the doctor today. I got my cardiologist.
And?
No, this is like, after all the testing I've done, sat down with the cardiologist, and he went over, like, okay, here's what we're going to do from now. Here's what we're going to do.
And what's wrong with you?
I had a problem with my heart. It was like, it was going through some AFib stuff where it wasn't beating. It was like, kind of like going back and forth. It felt like I never had one, but from what they talk about, a heart attack without the other symptoms, like pain in the arms and, you know. But it's just my heart, my chest was just killing me. And so that's what I said. I've been going to like all these freaking doctors and, you know, all this other weird shit. But I just got the results today.
And?
First of all, they found a heart, which I was surprised.
The rest of us were skeptical. The rest of us, skeptical.
Yeah, you didn't want to see it in writing, right?
And they know you're a warm-blooded animal, not just a cold-blooded reptile?
Right.
All right, there's two. Never saw that one coming.
What they basically came out and said was that my heart's perfect. For a guy my age and the shit that I do, he was pretty surprised to see that there was no issues.
All right. We like that. That's good. So what is the issue?
It's the brain, man. So like you said, the neurologist, the wiring got short-circuited, and like I told Black today, no chance on a brain transplant. Hasn't been done yet, and I wouldn't want to be the first.
So what do they do? So wait a minute. Is it TBI related?
Yeah. So that's what they think. That everything, like the brain is damaged. So you know, your heart gets all the information, electrical impulses, everything comes from the brain. You know, and then every once in a while, the freaking wiring, you know, it's like that. A Cooter's garage that stuff is sparking in the background, every once in a while, and not getting the right responses. So,
well, that's
so basically,
good.
It's suck it up, Buttercup.
So do they
have? They have to suck it up.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you know that it's that, then I mean that's good. Well, so they have. It's the Bermuda Triangle relative to figuring what causes it, I would guess. That's kind of weird because I know other people that have got that, and they get these actual physical symptoms, but when doctors go to track it down, they trace it to the brain and they say, I can get you to here, but I can't get you from here to there. There's something going on in your brain, and it's caused by a multiple factors that we can't put our head on. Just know that everything, you know, around your heart is healthy. Like, all right. Okay. All right. All right. Well, that's good then. That's good news, right?
Yeah, it's really good news. You know, it's just, well, I mean, really good news would be like, hey, here's a pill and it's all gone.
Yeah, right.
But this is the best news you could hope for. You know, my cholesterol levels, way below normal. You know, again, the doctor doesn't admit it, but he's probably saying, eat some more fatty foods, please.
You eat a lot of fatty foods, though.
No, not really. I mean, I eat my share.
Thank you.
I don't eat any more than most people do.
Okay, well, that's a lot, though. And in Texas, when you talk about going to the Waffle House, and you talk about...
I'm just kidding, man. I've only been there once. Ever. And it's all it took. So most of the stories of the Waffle, the one story is true that, you know, we went to, and it's like skating in an ice rink, and you walk in there, you just grease everywhere. You sit at the table, and it's like, man, what do you guys use for polish? Oh, lard? Man. Everything's so shiny. The table's shiny, the chairs are shiny, you're shiny, your clothes are shiny.
The So you don't have to change your diet. Here's an email. Mac, I'm curious. The gunner seems to be the odd male adult that doesn't balk at going to the doctors. He goes right away.
Yeah.
Why is he like that? Because he spent a lifetime. He spent a lifetime ignoring these things. Now he goes like a good little kid. Pretty odd.
Yeah.
I commend him for it. And I wish more of us were like him. Talk to us about that.
Ready?
Yeah.
Get your paper and pencil down. I'm going to give you a hint. I'm going to give you this tip.
All right, hold on.
Make sure you're writing this down. Everybody
ready?
Hold on.
I'm not. All right, go.
Ready?
Yes.
You ready?
Yes.
Okay. Because you got one fucking life to live, and you don't know when it's going to end. So the idea is, to go out the longest, you know, take the longest time.
That's it?
So, yeah. So take care of yourself. And it took a long time. And I know, yeah, I didn't. Well, because I didn't. And now I realize,
you
know what? It's important to take care of your health because you only got one. One you.
One lap around one lap around the track, and you don't decide when you get off.
Yeah, it's there's no redos.
Right.
And you know, it's you know, and I had that talk again, you know, we're talking about it again, where, you know, time. You know, we talked about it before. Time's the most precious thing, man, the most precious commodity. Can't stop it, man. It just keeps going. Just keeps, you know, and you know, it's the only thing you can give away. So utilize it the best possible and take advantage of time and take care of yourself and do the right thing. And I said, just put a dip of Copenhagen in your mouth. But, I mean,
yeah,
I'm probably not the best teacher, but you know what?
Well,
learn from me.
I will say this, though. You've made pretty impressive strides relative to the way you used to be. Because
Yeah.
He's not the same guy he used to be, just so everybody knows.
No. I have a heart now. I was told I have a heart. So now I'm going to live up to those expectations of having one.
Even Montana Man, I mean, he went to the doctor. They found that cancer in his back, on his liver or wherever they found
it. It wakes you up. It shakes you.
Right. And so,
you know, when I was going through all this heart stuff, and the idea of them to come out and go, hey, you know, you got, like, heart disease or something like that, you know, and I mean, that's kind of like, wow, oof. You know, your mortality is, your face just mortality again. Yeah? And, I'm not the one to say I'm not afraid to die.
Okay.
I'm kind of afraid to go right now.
Okay, so let me ask you about that. But you, it's not like, I mean, you've been involved because of your car accident. And, you know, and your brain injury issues, you've gone to the doctor while you were on active duty, but you didn't feel like this. Your attitude was, yeah, I got to go there and deal with this. And then you kept going. Is it being retired now? Is it not being around that culture that embraces that? Yeah, let's get ready for the next deployment. And again, in your defense.
Yeah.
In your defense, the last 15 years of that was going to war where people's lives were at stake and guys like Mike make a difference. So being outside of that is made a difference or not?
Yeah, it's made a huge difference in my life where, you know, again, now that I'm out and, you know, things are the way they are and things are great in my life, you know, having a good place. I like the place where I live. I love the friends that I have here in town, you know. I just, you know, I want more time. You know, now it's like, holy crap, this is great. I'm having a good time. I want it to continue. And how can I make it continue? Take care of myself.
Here's another email question. Mac, how old is the gunner? How old are you?
I'm 32. I'm going to be 51 here shortly, like in a couple weeks.
51. I'm going to be 60 in December.
Oh, you're an AARP member, aren't you?
I'm not a member. I'm certainly eligible.
I'm not a member. I'm the spokesman.
I'm not a member, but I could be if I wanted to be.
Yeah.
Do you have any home remedies for sinus infections?
See a
doctor. Go see a doctor.
No, CF, tear gas.
Yeah. Thanks. I appreciate that. The
take a tablespoon of wasabi and eat it straight.
Nice.
You will not have a sinus problem afterwards.
Nice. I want to talk to you about hazing again. Well, I'm going to read you an email. Hey Mac, I just started listening because the Marine Corps unblocked your show, and it's a great way to knock out 3 hours every day. I put my headset on, I sit down, I start working, and boom, pretty soon it's lunchtime. I love it. Anyway, my question or comment, or maybe both, centers around your discussion last week with a number of people, to include the gunner, about hazing. Is it a problem or is it a symptom of a problem? The short answer is, it's a symptom of a problem. The,
right.
The gunner who seems to hate do-nothing staff NCOs with a passion, that's a fact, okay? You know what? Mike hates anybody who's do-nothing with a passion.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a staff NCO.
But here's the deal.
You can be an officer, you can be a civilian.
Most officers don't go there because you alienate people very quickly. Mike, because he came from there and he's kind of a hybrid kind of a guy, he can get away with criticizing everybody because he's walked in their moccasins. So, I mean, he does it legitimately where the rest of us would do it with trepidation. And so let me tell you, and it's refreshing too, because it needs to happen. He goes on, I do believe that until you make it a section I comment in a fitness report for the people involved in the chain of command of the hazing incident, that you won't see this change. And here's what I believe ought to happen. If it is their responsibility, they would certainly face a adverse fitness report. If it is not their responsibility, but it still happened underneath their watch, I believe it ought to be a section I comment. It's simply an observation. This happened under their watch. If you see a number of those in somebody's fitness report, it certainly tells you something about their ability to lead. But in terms of your discussion with Mike, I think, last week, where do you put pressure in order to affect staff sergeants and sergeants? I think we all know the goddamn answer. You have to put it on the sergeant major, the first sergeant, the master gunnery sergeant, and the gunny. And when you put pressure on them to lean on those staff sergeants, then I think you'll begin to see this thing get pointed in the right direction. If you don't, then, and then in parentheses he writes, make that sound, wah, wah, wah. That's what the one pump Westpac senior lance corporal hears. That's what the sergeant hears, and that's what the staff sergeant hears, because they don't have any skin in the game. The lance corporal's going to get punished. He's getting court-martialed. I didn't read that General Smith court-martialed any sergeants for letting it happen or any staff sergeants for having it happen under their watch. All right, Mike, what do you think?
No, I agree with him.
Yeah,
I mean, that's exactly my position. So
it kind of makes sense, though. I mean, when you think about the issue of hazing, you know, it's not – when you see strong leaders in the Marine Corps, their Marines do what they tell them to do. And the Marines that don't do what they tell them to do – they're on a short list, and so they know who specifically to go to and deal with. And you don't see too many Marines defying strong leaders in the Marine Corps. Marines respect them, and I think they gravitate to them. And so, you know, again, then the next question becomes, have we emasculated our staff sergeants and sergeants enough where they don't have any legitimate power, and so they don't, they don't assert themselves anymore. So that's a little bit of an interesting discussion.
Yeah, it's that too. I mean, it's a lot more than just one simple answer. There's a lot. It's very complex. I mean, it's ridiculous that we still suffer from this.
Here's another question. I'm curious to hear both your comments about the Bo Bergdahl thing. He pled guilty this morning to desertion and misconduct in the face of the enemy. Mike?
Yeah. And then he turns around and who does he blame? I mean, that's all I saw these days was people blaming other people for their own actions. No one taking responsibility. You know, Bob Bergdahl walked off his post, deserted his team, and then wants sympathy. You know, he wants to be classified as a prisoner of war, you know. And then he says, oh, yeah, because of Trump, you know, him talking about it in public, he's not going to get a fair trial, and that's why he pled guilty. Buddy, you were going to get a fair trial. You're going to get, you know, this is America. You're going to get a fair trial by your peers. Now, you may not like it, but that doesn't make it unfair. Now, again, you're going to play stupid games. You're going to win through tries. He knew what he was doing. He thought he was going to be different, you know, and it's just the outcome. You know, for him, he's lucky because most people in his place got their head cut off with a machete. On video. You know? So, you know, for him to sit there and say, well, he was mistreated and he was treated not fairly and, you know, tie me a river, boy.
Yeah. You know, and again, depending on who you listen to, the Army will tell you that possibly as many as 6 soldiers were killed and more injured in operations looking for him and, you know, trying to find out what happened to him. His
unnecessarily putting their lives on the line to look for somebody that they thought, you know, was taken in the middle of the night, you know, not walked away and deserted his comrades. And now he wants sympathy? Yeah, wrong group.
And you know what? The other thing that was interesting was that his squad leader, his squad mates, they knew that he had walked off too because he had talked about doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just you know, he's one of the dropped on their head people. Send him to prison and leave him there.
He's done with it.
He's not a martyr. He's not some kind of war protester. He's an idiot. And he probably should have never been in the Army to begin with. And to the extent that he's psychologically damaged or whatever, so be it. But he passed every standard that the Army had. And I don't know, the more I read of him, the more I wonder how the hell they could have, you know, how the hell do you keep that idiot around when you have way more pressing things to be screwing with than Bo Bergdahl and his stupidity on a daily basis out on some godforsaken combat outpost, you know, in northeastern Afghanistan, which is pretty sparse, pretty remote. And I'll tell you what, because of its mountainous terrain, you need everybody to be paying attention because there's enough cover and concealment in those areas where if somebody's not doing their job, somebody's going to get killed. And so you need people that are, I mean, that's not easy in that kind of terrain. And you don't need idiots, especially, you know, so, I don't know. Anyway, Bo Bergdahl. What'd you do over the weekend? Anything exciting?
No, just relax. Had a good weekend. Just relaxing weekend.
Did you see any nice colors? What prompted your little outburst this morning? Were you watching the news?
Oh, yeah, I turned on the news and it was just like, bam, bam. Bob Bergdahl, Colin Kaepernick, and all the Hillary Clinton stuff. The Hillary Clinton stuff cracked me up, man. I was literally like, are you kidding me? This chick is that delusional where she's calling President Trump a sexual predator because of his comment towards women? Yeah, they may have been unduly unfair and sexism, that doesn't make them a sexual predator, for God's sake. You know, and then it's like, hey, Hillary, don't look too far for sexual predators. You're married to one, an admitted one.
Yeah, I don't know how she goes down that road, because all she does
is... she's crazy.
All she does is high, people, when she says that stuff, everybody looks back at her and says, hey, look, you were the enabler of that dude.
No, no one says that, Mac. No one questioned her. There was no news interview that said, you know, that would have been my report as a reporter interviewing her. And when she would have said that, I would have waited for her to start talking. And then I would have said, so Bill Clinton and all this is what, then what? And I'm pretty sure the interview would have been over at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, first of all, you would have never been granted the interview, because the only people that get access are people that either submit questions, and then they'll review them and
yeah,
say,
yeah, they're on
I'm
the
sorry.
Approved list for questions.
Yeah. Or the reason they're going to do the interview is because they know that you'll fawn over her and you'll tee them up and she'll hit them. And then they'll send you their talking points, and they'll say, hey, if you plan to digress from that, you need to submit that to us, or else there is no interview. Because this is what we're doing for you as a media outlet.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just sickening that we live in a world like this.
So you were up early, headed to see your doctor, and you were looking at the news, and that's what prompted that. I got it at like 6 in the morning. I'm like, oh, somebody's not happy today.
Yeah, that's what got me started today. It was like, you've got to be kidding me.
Hey,
she's a victim.
on a happy note, though, did you watch the ball game last night?
No.
Justin Turner hit a home run in the bottom of the ninth inning. It was awesome. He crushed it. And, no, it was a good close baseball game. To the bottom of the ninth, and John Lackey comes in and just throws a cement mixer with two runners on, and Turner hits it over the fence in center field. It was awesome. It was awesome. And first walk-off home run for the Dodgers since Kirk Gibson did it on the same day in 1988.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty cool. And then Justin Turner, who hit it, he talked about, he's from Los Angeles. He said, I remember being at my grandma's house. I was 4 years old. We were watching the Dodger game when it happened. And he said, I forgot it was today. He said, but wow. He said, that's awesome. That's awesome. So the playoffs continues. The Yankees are down 0-2 back in Yankee Stadium. You want to make a prediction for tonight? Yankees going to win or lose?
They'll probably win. They're at home. They're coming off of two hard losses. You know, some of those plays didn't go in their favor, but, you know, what do you do?
No, it's
they're a good ball team. They'll come together.
Mike sent me a text in the middle of the game on Saturday. Justin Verlander was just incredible. And he said, Verlander's pretty good. And,
yeah, I said Verlander's good. Pretty good ball.
But it's awesome because, you know, the fans in Houston are just going crazy. And the Astros, you know, the Astros in Cleveland, I would have told you, two best teams in the American League, Red Sox and Yankees below them. And so certainly if they're, you know, if the Yankees beat them, it's an upset because Houston is, that second baseman, Altuve, you got to be kidding me. And he and that shortstop are both about 24 years old together. And they are just, they're two of the best players in Major League Baseball. And wow. So yeah, that continues. And it'll be fun. Yankee Stadium's always a good time. It'll be crazy up there. But yeah, baseball playoffs go on. And then there was one more issue I was going to ask you about that I saw over the weekend that had to do with gun violence. Oh, I know. I got an email. I think I got it over the weekend. Somebody listened to a podcast and wrote in and said, I was listening to your podcast and I think you're factually mistaken. Excuse me. you probably need to double check the number of black men killed by police in a year in the United States. And so yesterday I was doing some reading, and I did. And I mean, and this astounds most people, but the number is, you know, is in the vicinity of 200 a year, depending on what year you're talking about. And then from that number, you know, the vast majority of those are men armed with either a gun or a knife, right? So you weed that out. And what you're left with is probably in the vicinity of you know, less than 50 or 25, approximately, off the top of my head, police shootings that need footnotes. And you would, mm-hmm. and that's a number similar when you break down the number of police incidents with white males who form about, I don't know, twice the number of what black males do. But that, you know, when you back out the number of guys who had weapons, three weapons, knife, gun, and car, that they assault police with. When you back that out, you left a pretty small number that require elaborate footnotes. And so I emailed him back, and I kind of broke the number back. And then he wrote me back a second time, and he says, so that's what all this commotion is about? And I said, yeah. And then he wrote me back an email. He just, one word, wow. So the whole Black Lives Matter movement is about maybe the lives of 50 people. And again, I'm not saying that that's not significant. And Mike and I have talked about, you know, our own approaches to leadership, creating regional police training facilities with live actors to get people through these things, to get them enough repetitions where they're comfortable in these situations and they don't overreact. But I would venture to say everybody that's critical ought to go hang out with the police for a month. And then come back after a month and tell us what you think. And then after you collect your thoughts for a month, then let's sit down and let's craft a solution to it. But when you pull the string on the number, you're going to look at it and say, you're going to scratch your head, and then you're going to quickly come to the next question, which is the larger number that needs to be impacted is the murder rate, black on black, anybody on black, of young people. Why aren't we talking about that more?
And if Black Lives Matter was a true movement, that's what they would be addressing.
Well, that's what he said.
That's where the real loss is at. That's where the real, like, wow, that's the real problem here.
That's what he said. And I said, look, one of the things I've always prided myself about my radio show is that I give a shit about the truth. My show is not ideologically driven. I tend to be, you know, fiscally conservative. I tend to be socially a bit liberal in terms of I think we should help people in this country. You know, but you got to do that in the context of a budget, and you got to pay for it, and you got to do it responsibly, which I don't think a lot of people think about in this country anymore. And so when you look at these kind of issues and you're going to solve them, and you hear Mike and I talking about them, to me, those are all legitimate concerns. But it needs to be based on the truth, not some popular notion of guns and gun violence and gun control. And that's why I offer these articles on our website. I mean, because read and get to know what the issue is, what the numbers are, because once you look at the numbers, you know, then you'll see the problem, and then you got to attack the problem. And so I thought it was very interesting in terms of somebody's one guy's epiphany. Because I went down the same road. I didn't realize the numbers were what they were. Mike, a bit more familiar with those kind of numbers because of his participation in more law enforcement stuff than I. But I think most Americans would find those numbers. They don't know those numbers. They're absolutely astounded by them.
Yeah, but why? I mean, that's the real question is. Why is it important to those groups? Because it doesn't meet their agenda.
Because it doesn't matter. The truth doesn't matter, Mike. And you know, it's really interesting. No. Mike made fun of me before we came on the air for playing General Kelly's interview. One of the things that happened in the interview is one of the first questions he takes is this question. Does the president believe that Puerto Ricans are citizens of the United States? Kelly, yes. Does he think that they should be supported in this time of need by FEMA and the American military? Yes. Then how do you explain his tweet? Kelly says that we can't be there forever. And Kelly says, I believe he said first responders and FEMA can't stay there together. Now, they're all there working hard and trying to get things put together. But as soon as they get it, you know, partially put together, they need to leave and go prepare for the next one because they're first responders. Right. And then you listen to it and you're like, you're like, duh, right? Oh, that makes sense. But if she doesn't ask that question, what are her readers? Now, this is somebody in the White House press room. What are her readers? And he said, so I believe he was talking about first responders and the United States military and FEMA when he in the tweet. In fact, if I recall, he said this. And somebody said, yeah. And then you look at it, but that's what we get, right? That's what gets served to us by the American media. And the more you watch it, the more disturbing it is. And his admonition to them was, look, I know that you guys are all basing this stuff on sources, but I sit here and read it, and I know the truth. And a lot of it's not even, you're not even close to it. And then he said, so just to tell you ought to get better sources. You ought to get better sources. So it's pretty interesting. But that's the shit you're talking about, Mike. And you know, so stay away from the news, man. Follow your own advice.
Yeah.
Are you
I
in the?
Help myself today.
I was bored. You were bored in the waiting room, weren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now that you're not going to go to the doctor in a while, then we don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, no kidding.
Does space intrigue you?
No, not the least.
Yeah, I was never a space.
We got a lot more problems here on Earth in our own backyard than we're worrying about our neighbor's yard.
Yeah, there's
the problems at home, Earth, guys.
There's a lot of excitement going around that, you know, I have kind of a public service announcement based on doing some reading over the weekend. The death toll in that fire in Napa, one of the reasons that that death toll is so high is because there's parts of those counties that don't have, like, 911 to your cell phone, like, service. Like, a lot of counties will have, if something happens in your county, whether it be a tornado, whether it be a, what do we call that, alert, Mike, when a kid gets caught?
Amber alert?
Amber alert. Boom, it hops right up on your phone, right? Some counties don't provide that service. The counties that did provide that had virtually no loss of life. People got alerted quickly.
Yeah, I know.
And the counties that didn't, had a lot of people die because it happened like at 1 a.m. That fire got going and like just this several walls of fire that trapped people and then they died. And so anyway, if you haven't subscribed to that, you know, then you ought to check into it because that someday could save your life. Anyway, but public service announcement. But scientists witness a huge cosmic crash. They think they're going to find how gold got created.
Yeah, like I said, I don't follow. I don't follow NASA. I don't care shit about space. That's the least of my worries. I don't care, you know, how old the universe is. That just doesn't intrigue me.
I don't care. I used to hate.
You know, if
NASA
is all powerful and so good, and all these brilliant minds are put together and solve problems like fossil fuel, you know, things that really we can do things here on Earth to make our lives better. Quit worrying about, again, where the universe came from, how old it is. How is that making my life better? How is that bringing down my gas price?
It's not.
Yeah.
It's not.
How is it, yeah, how is it changing the environment? How is it, again, I don't give a shit. Is it fascinating? Sure. So is the reproduction of, you know, of migrating humpback whales. But it's not important. I care less.
Wow. And here I thought I was the only science hater. Like, science.
Oh, no, really? I hate science.
What was your favorite subject in school?
I don't know, probably math.
Really?
Yeah.
I liked history. Everything else. And I, when I tried, I was a good student, but if I didn't like it, I didn't try very hard. And my mom used to get pissed at me. Kathleen, oh my God. And then the nuns would always tag me, student achieving below apparent capability. And that used to get me in trouble all the time too. But I, if I didn't like it, I mean, I would get a C. If I got lucky and I guessed right, I'd get a B. But I'd pay attention in class. I was a good student. I was a decent writer. And so I could do okay on pretty much on most things, but I did not really try very hard, except that the things I liked, and I liked history. And math, geometry, worst class ever. Memorizing math rules, and then regurgitating them. Really? You think I'm going to do that? Do you think I'm going to go home when I can go outside and I can play sports with my friends, and I'm going to come in and waste my time with that shit? Ain't happening, brother. Is not happening. The what was your worst subject?
I don't know. I didn't really appreciate school until I was out of it. I think that's tough stuff. I mean, I'm a history. I like history too. Don't get me wrong. But yeah, math had to be my favorite. And
really? That's like, interesting. I would not have thought that. Yeah. Math. I used to, trigonometry, calculus. I'm like, here we go again. More stupid rules with numbers. Yeah, this is exciting. Really glad I took this class. And then I do most stupid of all. I go to college, and the best teacher I had in junior college was a guy whose dad was the ambassador to England from Trinidad, and a guy named Bing West. He's just one of those great teachers, right? And so, but he taught economics, and the subject was economic history. And so I thought, well, what do you mean we didn't go down to Latin America to free people and to stand for democracy and independence? What do you mean we went there? Because there was American companies down there that were making a ton of money, and we went down to protect their rights and our desire to import their shit. What? What is that about, right? And so then you start learning about the reason why we do things, and you're like, and they pull the curtain back like, well, maybe I ought to learn about economics if I want to understand history. And so I wish you would have had a major in economic history where I went. They did not. So I decided to major in economics. If you major in economics, what you wind up doing is math, applied math.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, man. But I will tell you what, it made me a better problem solver. It made me a better modeler. It made me to be able to look at problems different ways, because in economics, what you do is you build a model, right, and then you say, okay, here's where we're at. Now, what do we do if we move it three different ways simultaneous, right? And here's McNamara drooling, like, with his head on the desk, like, and, people would come in to take him as electives, and, like, we would, like, the six people that were economics majors, and we were like, it's, like, too late to get out, right? You know, you had another year to do, but you had to do it. And then people would come in as electives, like, you would walk in, you're like, hey, man, what's going on? Because you're not one of the six, so we know it, you're a new guy. And you're like, hey, man, I'm just, this money and banking class sounds really interesting. Yeah, it's not going to be. And you're like, what do you mean? Like, I mean, I'm really interested in banks and money. And yeah, it's just going to be applied math, okay, in that system. Like, what? Like, is it a lot of math? Like, look, you sit through the first class and then go drop this class. And they'd be like, what? Are you serious? Like, yeah, trust me, you'll hate it. It sounds cool, but it's not. And then after the first class on the way out, they'd be like, hey, man, thanks. Like, no problem, bro. Anyway. All right, what else you got going on today?
Not much. Heading to the Petroleum Club.
Yeah, we love the Petroleum Club. What are you ordering today now that you need more cholesterol?
I'm getting a cheeseburger and fries.
How big is the cheeseburger? Tell me about it. What do you got? How do you work that thing?
They're like a half a pound. They're big. And like I said, these are the best burgers you can get, man. They're at a gas station.
Yeah.
That's why we call it the Petroleum Club.
When you said Petroleum Club, and you're in Texas, a lot of people are thinking tall doors, lots of mahogany, right? Red velvet,
yeah.
Right? Explain the Petroleum Club.
Petroleum Club is a little itty bitty, just a little bitty itty bitty place that serves burgers and, you know, in a gas station in the middle of nowhere.
There you have it.
Yeah.
Mike's told me he's going to the Petroleum Club, and then he sends me a picture. And I text like, that's a gas station, man. He goes, I know it is. What are you, stupid? I said, oh, it sounded like a lot more than that earlier.
Yeah.
All right, anything else? Go ahead.
No, I posted that whole thing on the Facebook and got a lot of replies back, and some of my liberal buddies are like, oh, you know, it kind of feels the same every time number 45 opens his mouth. Glad you share my pain. My reply is, yeah, the difference, Jake, is number 42, the one I was talking about, is a self-admitted sexual predator, not assumed. This is America, remember? You were a Marine, too. We fought for the freedom. He didn't have his day in court like number 42 did.
Yeah, you know what? You don't go down that road very much anymore. You used to, but you've got away from that fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't, honestly, I don't, some people create their own reality. And if you can look at Barack Obama as a beloved president and not see the weakness in his administration and how he screwed the DOD and the United States and the nation, then you're not paying attention. But you can't convince them otherwise. It's, you know, if you watch CNN and you sit in the echo chamber, and you don't read and you don't footnote, I don't know. That's why I don't like to go there, because it makes me angry. So anyway, all right. Who's going to be at the Petroleum Club?
Ron.
All right. Tell Big Ron we said hey.
I will.
All right. All right, man. Have a good day. Stay away from the news.
I will. That definitely. That's my medicine for today.
And congratulations on your diagnosis, on your health, man. That's good stuff.
Yeah, that is good. I mean, it feels good. All right, man, I'll talk to you later.
There you have it. Michael Musselman here on a Monday. The Gunner, clean bill of health, got a bad brain, but we knew that, and we're okay with that, right? That's how the tribe rolls. I've got a public service announcement as we leave, too, by the way. Hey, if you're struggling... had a conversation with somebody over the weekend. If you're struggling, or if you're the spouse of somebody that's struggling, step one, vet center. Okay? They're all over the place. You need to go there. You need to go there. And don't be afraid of it. I mean, Mike's a good example of somebody who's reformed his own dumb ass. But if you're struggling, if you're doing stupid stuff and you're struggling, go get help. You don't have to fake it. A lot of guys fake it. Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good to go. And they're not. Don't fake it, man. It's okay to have mental health issues. Lots of people do. Right? It's part of the tribe. Traumatic brain injury, amputees, post-traumatic stress. It's all part of the different aspects of being part of this tribe. So if you're one of those people, or if you have friends that are struggling, make sure you reach out and talk to them. And let them know, hey, it's okay, man. Go to a vet center. The vet centers are awesome places. You can keep your records there locally if you choose to. And go get help so that you can be, you might not ever be Philip Brown, but you could be mostly Philip Brown. You could live a better life. And that's what, you know, I think Mike's talking about, you know, living a better life, because you don't get to decide when you get off the track. The other thing, I started the program with this, and I'll end it with this. Unplug from a lot of the media that you have on your phone. Because I don't think it certainly doesn't enhance your life. You know, volunteer more. Coach a team. Go out there, you know, make a difference, make an impact. You know? But look at pictures. You know, you look at pictures at any game, and what are you going to see? You're going to see half the people in the picture looking at their phone. That can't be good, you know, to be that connected to that device. You know, so minimize what you get on that. Communicate with your friends, which is a good thing, and go on about your day. Go make a difference. And again, I go back to our parents' lives. You know, they watch the news on TV. Some days, if they didn't, you know, they tended to read about it in the paper the next day. I'm not sure that wasn't a better way of consuming the media. Just a thought. Too much of it, not a good thing. Because you know what? They're not shit you're going to do about it. So, who cares? The other thing I'd tell you is find other quality sources of news. Because I would tell you that that CNN, ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. And in my reading over the weekend about the Ferguson, what happened in Ferguson, you know, CNN was complicit in that. For the purposes of ratings. The truth, in retrospect, was a young black man burglarized a store, assaulted a clerk, and then assaulted a police officer when he told him to get out of the street, not knowing that it was the guy who did the burglary. They then had an altercation, and he was shot and killed. He wasn't getting on his knees. Okay, so when you, and then that flame was fanned, that lie was fanned, and then got fanned on a nightly basis by CNN. So, I will quote General Kelly, find better sources. There's better, more balanced, higher quality news reporters in the country. Get your news from those places. But get out of the Fox News echo chamber, get out of the CNN echo chamber, and go find better news sources. There's my admonition for you. You can't convince them because the networks and major newspapers don't report on it. I agree with it. It's brutal. But you know what? If you like the news and if you like reading about it, I would tell you, you can find better sources. I know that I do. Right, thoughtful, better written, more balanced writers, and so that's the trick. And then when you find them, you know, then that's where you get your news. So anyway, have a great day. This program repeats itself immediately, if not sooner, and that's going to happen right about, survey says,